Well, from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and more Idaho Matters right now. What did you do in your spare time during the COVID-19 pandemic? Well, two women got together with some very talented folks to make 100 rugs based on fairy tales. Rug hooking is an old art that's seeing a resurgence. Now, this huge project was created by rug hooking teachers who spent untold hours bringing fanciful creatures and illustrations to life. And those 100 rugs are traveling around the country and will be in Garden City this Friday. Susan L. Cox is with the Treasure Valley Rug Hookers, and she helped bring the Hooked on Fairy Tales exhibit to life, and she's joining us now. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you.
Okay, so Susan, for folks who aren't familiar with this, what exactly is rug hooking?
Well, it's we take strips of wool, and it's wool fabric like you would make a skirt out of. Mm. These pieces of wool are then cut into strips. And those small strips of various width, depending upon what we need based upon the project we're doing, get pulled through a backing material. The ends get brought up to the top, and then it's successive loops thereafter. And then the final end gets brought to the top again, and they all get cut off even, and you never see the ends anymore. So it looks a little bit like a Berber carpet, I would assume. There's little lumps and bumps. It's all even, but it's not like an oriental carpet where it's shaggy fibers on the top.
So how hard is it to learn this?
I would say it's relatively easy. It varies from person to person, depending upon often how many different fiber arts they've been into. Believe me, if girls are into fiber arts, they usually pick it up pretty good. But if they haven't done fiber arts, it may be a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. It takes a little practice. You need to, and you can't expect that your first rug is going to be perfect. I always say, you know, your first rug is going to be beautiful. You'll use it for years, but you can't expect that it's going to have everything perfect in there. But it's something, that's one of the lovely things about rug hooking, is it's something that you can continue to learn throughout your career with rug hooking. So like for me, I started hooking when I was in my 30s, and I'd say I'm still learning and expect to continue to learn, and I'm an advanced rug hooker.
So tell us about this project called Hooked on Fairy Tales. How did this come to be?
Well, during the pandemic, there is a woman named Robin Rennie who was really into fairy tales. And she got together with one of the people in our teachers organization that creates patterns for some of us and asked her if she'd be willing to collaborate with her on making patterns for all of the certified teachers to hook if they wanted to. And that girl agreed. And so then Robin went around trying to get people, you know, this was advertised in social media, and she asked for certified McGowan rug hooking teachers if they'd like to participate in the fairy tale exhibit to get in touch with her. From that point in time, we got to select a fairy tale. Different people did it different ways. In my case, I decided on a couple of different options that I wanted as far as a fairy tale. And then I presented that to this Robin Rennie. She then told me I could search the internet for any illustration that I would like from like 1850 to 1920, which is what we call the golden age of fairy tales. And then we would present it to her, and she was our copyright policeman. She went checked to make sure that copyrights were now in the open domain for that illustration. And if that was the case, then the pattern designer would put it on a pattern for us, and then we would hook it. We had, varied amounts of time, depending on how early we got into the project. But I'd say on average, you know, 9 months to a year to have our rug completed. And we had a deadline to have it ready for the show, which was going to start traveling the country. And that was last fall is when the show started happening.
And so my understanding is that your contribution was a Puss in Boots rug.
Correct. I did Puss in Boots.
And so kind of describe it for us, because I mean, I think all, you know, so many of us know the character, you know, from the animated movie and being a part of even the Shrek franchise.
Well, Puss in Boots, he had an instance in the Puss in Boots story where he had, I can't remember if it was a king or no, it was a, I think just an average person. He was trying to trick the king into wanting to stop his carriage as he was coming towards him so that he could get the king's attention. Because he was all, Puss in Boots was all into impressing the king, because that was going to make sure his future was good. So, and he had played many other tricks on the king too. So this was just one of them. But as the king's carriage is approaching, he tells this guy to jump in the river or the lake, whichever it was, and act like he was drowning. So this person did that. And Puss in Boots stood out on the road with his arms out, shouting with his beautiful costume. And he got the king to stop. And the king stopped. And the king wasn't the only person in the carriage. There was also princes. And so I think Puss in Boots was hoping to form a relationship with a princess. And so in this illustration that I hooked, there was actually a picture of the swimmer in the lake that was supposedly acting like he was drowning. And as I decided to do this particular illustration and knew it was copyright free, I didn't hook in the gentleman. In fact, I asked the pattern designer to leave it out because it really looked kind of gory for people who don't know the tale of Puss in Boots. So my Puss in Boots, you'll see at the show, he's standing there with his beautiful costume, with his arms out, waving down the king. And then you can see the water next to him, but there's no person.
So I only have about a minute left with you. So I want to get the details for the exhibit, because all of the rugs will be on display at the Riverside Hotel in Garden City on Friday. So yes, folks can just show up and see all of the rugs, correct?
Correct. It's the show goes from 10 until 7. And that's set at 7 o'clock. We actually have a special closing ceremony. We'll shut down the show. And then next to the show, which is in near the ballroom, we'll have a closing ceremony with a speaker who will be talking about how this project came to be and the inspiration behind a lot of the rugs and information about the illustrators of the time. So it's going to be a little bit of a history lesson. And I think I really encourage people to come to that closing ceremony, because one thing that people of today do not realize about fairy tales of that era is that they were really scary. And so people would read things to their children that today we would never, ever dream of doing. So some of those stories are going to come out in that closing ceremony.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this craft. We've been talking with Susan Elcox with Treasure Valley Rug Hookers about the Golden Age of Illustrated Fairy Tales exhibit, which will be this Friday at the Riverside Hotel in Garden City. We will put pictures of some of these really incredible rugs on the Boise State Public Radio Instagram, so check them out there. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.